We're digesting the content and implications of 29 text messages today. They are exchanges between Virginia Thomas, the conservative activist and wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and Mark Meadows, who was White House Chief of Staff under former President Donald Trump. In the messages, Thomas pressed Meadows to pursue efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Those texts are among more than 2,300 messages provided by Meadows to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Emma Brown is an investigative reporter with the Washington Post, one of the news organizations that reviewed these exchanges. Hi, Emma. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So we know of 29 texts, as I mentioned. 21 are from Ginny Thomas, to Mark Meadows, 8 are from him to her. What did these messages say?
Well, they showed this really extraordinary pipeline of conversation between these two. And they showed that Ginny Thomas was pushing really hard for Meadows and Trump's camp to not concede, to continue pressing to overturn the election results. I think one thing that really struck me, I mean, one of the messages she sent was spreading an idea that's related to the QAnon conspiracy theory community, excuse me, about this idea that there were watermark ballots that would show the fraud. And I think, you know, I think that it's easy to sort of dismiss the conspiracy theories about the election, and particularly QAnon conspiracy theories, as something isolated to a group of people who are maybe not educated or not sophisticated. But here is Ginny Thomas, who is one of the more powerful conservative activists in the country, married to one of only 9 Supreme Court justices and really moving in circles of power in Washington, who is spreading these ideas to the chief of staff of the President of the United States.
You called them extraordinary, and I wonder, is there a precedent for this? I mean, surely Supreme Court justices' partners and spouses have opinions, but is there precedent for this kind of pressure from one of them being put on a person in power and in the White House?
Well, I think there's this growing question about whether there is a conflict of interest or have been conflicts of interest for Justice Thomas, given his wife's activism. And there's been a series of stories actually in recent months about that preceding this disclosure. But what this disclosure shows is that, you know, she was very active in and close to people, and apparently, you know, pushing for Sidney Powell, for example, to be the face of the legal team for Trump and so on, talking to Mark Meadows on these text messages. And her, at the same time, her husband is ruling on cases involving the election and involving, you know, after January 6th, involving the question of whether Trump's White House records should be disclosed to the House committee investigating mm-hmm. January 6th. Justice Thomas was the only justice who said, no, those records should not be disclosed to the committee. And we don't know, you know, we don't know what he knew about his wife's communications with Meadows. We don't know, because he didn't explain why he made, why he dissented from the majority in that question about whether Trump's paper should be released to the committee. But it raises this real question about whether there is a conflict of interest, and sort of, you know, stokes these questions about whether the Supreme Court is a political body, which many justices have been trying to push back against in recent weeks and months.
It also raises questions about the timing when it comes to conflict of interest. So on November 4th, one day after the election, Donald Trump said in a speech, quote, "This is a major fraud on our nation." And then he said, "We'll be going to the U.S. Supreme Court." One day later, Ginny Thomas sends this text saying, "Biden crime family and ballot fraud co-conspirators are being arrested." And she says they will be, quote, "living in barges off Gitmo to face military tribunals." What do you make of the timing?
Yeah, I mean, I think she has said publicly that, you know, she does not share her work with her husband and that he does not share his work with her. Hmm. But they've also talked about how close they are and that they're best friends. In fact, in one of the text exchanges, she explains that she has just spoken to her best friend, and she doesn't say who that is in the text message, so we don't know. But the timing of the text messages and the fact that as cases are making their way, you know, election challenges, Trump's election challenges are making their way through the courts, apparently headed for the Supreme Court, as Trump has telegraphed, you know, in that remarks that you just read, she is behind the scenes pushing for people close to Trump, for Meadows, to not concede. She's spreading ideas that have no basis in reality about how this fraud, supposed fraud, unfolded.
So we have less than a minute left here, Emma, but Mark Meadows' lawyer confirmed the existence of these texts, but said nothing about the text messages presents any legal issues. Is he right?
Well, I think that what we see in these text messages is, for Mark Meadows, raises questions about what role he played as people came to him pushing these ideas. Did he, we don't see him in these text messages shutting down these ideas and saying, no, this isn't true. I mean, he's thanking Ginni Thomas for her work, thanking her for her support. Yeah. Those are not necessarily legal questions, but I think the committee will be interested in the role that he played in either shutting down or allowing these ideas to spread.
Emma Brown is investigative reporter with the Washington Post. Emma, thank you.
Thank you.